Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we find ourselves in thy premise, in thy presence, as we have assembled together in thy name. With thy word before us, O Lord, our thoughts come to thee in prayer and asking of thee that thou would help us, as our desire this evening is to look into thy word and to meditate upon its truths and apply them to our hearts, that, Lord, these moments that we spend together would be spent together as a time when our focus is upon thee and thee alone. So speak mightily to each of our hearts, O Lord, and reveal the hidden thoughts within our hearts and to ourselves to bring us to a closer walk with thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, let's turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, will begin with verse 14 and end with verse 1 of chapter 7. Ljubav želim da se pročita iz druge poslanice Korinčanima, 6. glava, početak od 14. broj i 1. broj od 7. glave. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There was in the portion of scripture that we've read, we are being called to a purity. Not only a purity in the way that perhaps the outward man appears or does, but far further than that, because the Bible tells us, the book of Proverbs tells us that God ponders the heart. And how many Christians, professing Christians, there are in the world or have been in the world, God only knows, who have lived upright, moral lives, but in their heart, as would never really take anything further than what the law would pertain to them, such as the law says thou shalt not steal, but the law of Christ says thou shalt not covet. So it takes us, so it goes into the heart, a purity of heart, that the Lord looks at us, he ponders our heart, and he sees us exactly who we are. And we get into many ways of trying to. How many times does a believer, or we, or anyone, a professing Christian, want to see how close I can walk to the world and still be saved? How close can I go to being worldly and still be saved? And that is something that all of us will do if our hearts, as Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They shall see God. And Paul is telling us here how close we can get to the world and still be saved. He lets us know right here. Without purity in everything, in our associations, in our heart, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, that's speaking of a heart. That's not saying just don't steal. That's saying don't covet. That's not saying that we can push ourselves to a limit which we have already crossed long before we even realized it. As we are urged here to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, from all worldliness, from everything the world stands for. And so he tells us here not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That's how close one who is in the light can get to the world. Not even close. When you are in light, you have no association with darkness. When you are righteous, you have no association with unrighteousness. Zero. There's no alliances or associations that are being formed with that which is not in complete compliance with the Word of God. Even to attend a church where I would know that the truth of God is not being preached, to go there thinking, well, it's better than nothing. You're associating with that which is not truth, supporting it. According to the Scripture, that's darkness. Unless the truths of God are taught, preached, adhere to, it is darkness. And we are to have zero association with that. He talks here of Christ and Belial and those who believe as and those who don't believe. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. And so he is speaking to us here and showing us where our heart needs to be. So we have a doctrine, a gospel, a holy doctrine. And if we just believe in this doctrine, that does not mean that I am saved. Because the holy doctrine demands a holy conduct. But that holy conduct must come from a holy character. God, remember it says, God ponders the heart. He doesn't look at just the conduct. He looks at the character. He looks at the heart of my heart and your heart. That's what he is pondering and looking at. Because I can very easily, dear ones, go through life never killing anyone. As the law says, thou shalt not kill. I can go without killing anyone. But as God ponders my heart, he forbids, his holy doctrine, his word prohibits ill will, hatred of any kind. Anger forbids it. Don't allow it. Because what you're doing, you're saying, I've crossed from holiness into unholiness. I've crossed from righteousness into unrighteousness. And how long or what can I do in this state of unrighteousness and still be saved? Nothing. You can't be there. We can't be there. We have to come out. We have to be separate. How will I know? How will I be assured of my justification? Other than through my sanctification. That which I have placed God in my heart, when Jesus Christ is enthroned in my heart, where he is everything to me, Jesus will not be in my heart if I am in it, because if I have yoked myself together with that which is unholy, that means that I have disregarded him and made something else to be of more value than him. Only the one who can say, I am crucified with Christ, he alone can say, Christ lives in me. Can't say it otherwise. I have to be crucified with him in order to be able to say, he lives in me. And the way I can say that he lives in me is, dear ones, is when I look at my faith. When I live a life of faith by love. When I live a life of faith that believes in him. And I will not allow any other association with anything and anyone as his word strictly prohibits. I will say strictly because it says, what does Christ have to do with Belial? What does he which believe have to do with an infidel? Nothing. It's strictly forbidden. But dear ones, we go way deeper than that. We have to consider, where's my heart? Where are my thoughts? What are my dreams? What do I covet? If my life is not holy, fully in Christ, then it has none of Christ. Jesus himself says that the Pharisees were so careful to keep the outside all perfect, to hold every jot and tittle exactly how it says. But they didn't know what love was at all. And why didn't they know what love was? Because they didn't recognize him when he was in their midst. They hated him. They hated love. And so how could they? How could they be concerned with the inner man, which that was inside of them, when love was before them, in front of them, speaking to them, and they didn't recognize him? And so, dear ones, don't pat yourself on the back that you can go through life, and I never stole anything. Or don't go through life thinking I did so good because I never hurt anyone. That's what the Pharisees were proud of. They were proud of that. And Christ said unto them, woe unto you. Woe. And so when I look at the word, when I read his word, he always points me back to my heart. Where is my heart? Is it in alliance with my Savior and my Redeemer? He was one in whom we can look at and truly say, that his life, his word, is something that an unregenerated man hates. And that is exactly what the Pharisees did. They hated him. Because no man wants to hear that you are not justified in your anger. And no man wants to hear that I will stand before the judgment seat to give an answer for that anger. Because man wants to justify. We want to justify who we are. And yet we hold a position in our thoughts that we are with Christ. Christ is speaking here, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." So, Jesus is telling you, searching the scriptures, and he says, and in them you think you have eternal life. And yet these very scriptures that you're finding comfort in for your salvation, these scriptures are testifying of me, he says. But you won't come to me. So how are you saved? We say, well, we did come to him. We were baptized in his name. You won't come to me. You won't come to me because my life is not what you want. It's not what you want. You want selfishness. You want self-righteousness. You want to live your own life, and yet, searching the scriptures, thinking you have eternal life, yet these very scriptures testify of me, he says. He says, I know you. He ponders our hearts, remember? He ponders our hearts and he says, I know you. You don't have the love of God in you. Dear ones, imagine that being said of me, of you. What can I say to my Lord if he were to say that to me right now? What can I claim to say, yes, I do have the love of God in me? How can I challenge that statement? First of all, we can't challenge him in any way. I'm just thinking theoretically, how can we look at this and in my thoughts say, I do have eternal life? Only by saying, I am crucified with Christ. I've crucified my flesh. I don't live that way anymore. I don't live that life. I live in a new power because Christ lives in me. That's the only way we can do it. So we have to ask ourselves, am I crucified with Christ? Have I crucified this flesh? I'm just looking for a verse. I'm not finding it, but it is a verse that tells us that when we have in us Jesus Christ, he will give us an understanding of who he is. He will fill us with his knowledge. He will fill us with his wisdom. He will fill us with his love. And in doing so, it says, we will never be ashamed. Jesus will not be ashamed of us, and we will not be ashamed of him. Dear ones, in our lives, are we ever ashamed? Think about this now. Are we ever ashamed to live a little bit different? To show a way that's a little bit different? Or should I say, totally different? A way of Christ. Because if I'm not willing to show the way of Christ, then that means I'm ashamed. How then can I claim him? How can I claim him? How can I say Christ lives in me? You know, oftentimes our lives don't allow us to even mention his name. And yet we will come here and we will say we belong. We belong to Christ. I know you, he says, that you don't have the love of God in you. You're searching the scriptures and you find comfort there. You think you're saved. But these scriptures, from front to back, everywhere we look, it testifies of who he is. It testifies of him. And you won't come to me. Those words are pointed at anyone who cannot accept Christ. Meaning, accept the life of Christ as a life that I want to live. To say I've been redeemed, to say I've been saved, to say Jesus died for me, to say I've been baptized, but not be able to have the holy conduct by a holy character. Then, dear ones, I'm just searching the scriptures looking for comfort and eliminating Jesus Christ. Because I cannot claim him and his blood and his righteousness if I want to live my own life. If I will be selfish and if I will be proud. And dear ones, it takes humility. It takes Christ living in me to be able to be ridiculed, to be able to be belittled, to be able to be mocked, and to love with the love of Christ. With the love of Christ that says, I will die for you. The one who mocks me, ridicules me, belittles me, I'm willing to die for. Not just saying it, but feeling it deep in your heart. Knowing. The hymn writer says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. To have that blessed assurance, dear ones, that Jesus is mine, we have to ponder our heart too. Guard our heart, as Proverbs also tells us. Guard it. Don't allow things to get into, to penetrate into the heart and to take us away into paths of darkness where it tells us here, you are a temple of the living God. And God said, I will dwell in them. Wonder of wonders. God will dwell in you and me. He will dwell in me only if he holds and sits upon the throne of my heart. He will never take second place. He can't. How many of us enjoy being second to someone, to anyone? How many of you enjoy being second? Oh, I love you, but I really love him more. He says, I will dwell in and walk in him, and I will be their God. If he will be our God, then we know the love of God. We have the love of God in us if he is my God, because he dwells in me. And they shall be my people. I won't be ashamed to say he is my God, and my God will not be ashamed to say he is my son. I will be their God, they shall be my people. My Lord, my God, my son. That comes from emptying self. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Paul writes here, describing him as the Almighty One. It's the only time that he describes him that way. Not to mean that he doesn't look at him as almighty. But with this promise of who he will be, he says, it's the Lord Almighty, Almighty, all everything, who is making this promise to you that he will walk and be with you and live in you. And so now he says, you have these promises. Dearly beloved, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the question now that we asked in the beginning, we ask it again. How close can I walk to the world and still be saved? Is there such a thing? The Word of God leaves it clear. There's no way. Any desire to walk close to the world puts me in the world already. My heart is not right. I'm wrong altogether. Christ is not powerful in me because I have evicted him with my desires for something other than him. He has to rule in my heart. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, his word brings us to him and him alone. Follow me, he says. Learn of me. Come to me. But you won't come to me, he says, so that you might have life. He's giving us life. And we won't come to him. We won't come to him. And yet we claim him. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse yourselves. Dear ones, the only way we can cleanse ourselves is through his word. Learning of him and going to the cross and dying with him. Then and only then can I claim Jesus lives and with him I. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
As the apostle has encouraged us to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he tells us, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And the only way that you and I can really do that is to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. You see, when we become carnally minded, then we have a tendency to, like the brother said, how far can we be away from the world and still be saved? How close do we want to get? Well, if we want to be spiritually minded, we won't want to get very close at all. And I like what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans when he said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so the key to stay and separate yourself from the things of this world is to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. May God bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.